Let's pray, and then we'll read our Bibles together. God, come to you, and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving, and we adore you, and we want to adore you. We open your word because we want to hear your voice. So God, as we read the Bible today, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would guide the way that I explain, and that you would guide the way that we hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so today we're gonna take a little break from Matthew. Again, thank you for not saying about time. A little tiny break. I know we're in the middle of the parable of the sower. We really haven't looked at the parable of the sower the way it should be looked at. So Lord willing, that'll be next week. But today I wanted us to look at something, just kind of a one-off thing. Something that I think there's a verse that grabbed me this week. That personally, and I wanted to share it because this is something that I think can help us go through life with more joy and peace and hope. And I hope as I say those words, you say, oh yeah, I want more of that, because we should and we do. And so before we look at the word, let's just hold up a mirror and look at ourselves and why we might need this. How do we normally go through life? If there were three words that I see in myself and not y'all. We don't spend enough time throughout the week for me to, you know, be judgmental. So this is easy. But in everyone that I see, just the people around me, the words would be not joy, peace, and hope. It would be more like fear and anxiety. I would say worry, but that's another word. So just anxiety, frustration, whether that comes out in anger or however that comes out. There's things in life that we actively avoid, even things that are unavoidable, and we live our lives trying to avoid them because they're just, we don't enjoy them, we don't like them, we're fearful. We're fearful of the future, of what might happen. We might lose something. There's a dread that, do you ever find yourself just feeling a sense of dread? Like this is good. Today was a good day, but I wonder what tomorrow's gonna be like. I have no idea. It's probably not gonna be as good as today. Probably something bad is gonna happen. A sense of dread. If we put up with things that we don't enjoy, we just kind of grit our teeth. And something you're putting up with right now, we should all have stories, right? And maybe we don't just grit our teeth and get through it, but we let it come out. We complain. We're everyone around us knows that we're not happy, that we're putting up with the thing. We don't suffer in silence well. I don't suffer in silence well. If I have to suffer, and you're married to me, or you're my child, or I live with you, or I work with you, you're probably gonna suffer too. That's not good. That's just reality. That's a confession. We're worried. We stress out as we go through life. Why is that? We could dive into that for the rest of the half hour or 15 minutes, or however long this is gonna be. But I think in a word, it's probably about control. I worry because I don't know what's going to happen. And I do know that I can't control it, and I want to control it. And I get upset because things aren't going the way that I want them to go. I'm losing control. And what do we call it? When you freak out, you lost control, right? You're out of control. That's why we worry. That's why what's the opposite of all of that, of the worry and the anxiety and the frustration and the anger and the dread? And a word that I would put up as the opposite of all of that is anticipation. It's the joyful, I'm something good is coming. You know that feeling that something good is coming? Remember when you were a kid, and this is going to sound way too real, because this isn't when I was a kid. This is now for me still. And I'm too old for this to be a way that I feel now. So I'll say it now and then just forget I said it. Remember when you were a kid, or for me now, and Christmas is coming? You're like, ooh, Christmas is coming. I know what I'm getting because I got it for, it was got for me. But, I picked it out. I'm too much of a control freak to get a present that I didn't decide on. But I'm going to open it. It's going to be awesome Christmas. Or my birthday, when my birthday is coming. I get excited like a month or two. Forget you heard this after this moment. But remember when you were a kid and you felt that way? So you can relate to me. You were young. Maybe some of us don't remember as much when we were a kid. When you were younger and your birthday's coming. Birthday's coming. And I can't wait. wait, I hope they got the thing. And that feeling of anticipation, or maybe now, you know, we're older, so we wouldn't say Christmas and birthdays, but you're about to meet up with that old friend. It's going to be really cool. And maybe, you know, I wouldn't do this, but maybe you would run across a restaurant, like if you were a lady, you see that, it's like you're way that moment, you know, you're going to see that person, or your spouse has been traveling and coming home. You're going to the airport. And, I can't wait. I have flowers. And I'm going to see the person, or you're about to take the trip and you're going to be gone for a week and you're not going to have to work. And you know how unproductive you are at work the week leading up to the week. You're not going to be there. You might as well just take 2 weeks off. It's that anticipation. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be traveling. I'm going to be away. Or maybe it's something that's silly. Okay, last one. You probably don't relate to this. But when I buy something, like online, and I'm waiting for it to come, and I'm really excited about it because it's a new little piece or the new thing or whatever the thing is, and I'm like, ooh, it's gonna be here. And I track it, and UPS, and I can see where the UPS driver is. And anyone else? Okay, that anticipation that you feel when something good is about to happen, you're about to step into something, how do you feel? It's like the whole day goes by better. You're kind of smiling for no reason. You're just happy. Your steps are lighter. You're upbeat. Everything, something is about to get there and you want to experience it. And what if we were able to live every moment like that? And you would say, well, ridiculous. Of course we can't. I mean, full of that kind of joy and hope and even like in all the heart. Hard work of life. You can't always be, you know, anticipating something good is around the corner because it's not. It's even in bad moments when bad things are happening, we can't live like that. Well, look at a verse that I think can lead us into living more like that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. There's this idea that's nestled in. It's within a context. And, you know, we like to look at the whole context. Today, we're not going to. We're going to look at a lot of verses by themselves. So write the verses down, take them home, use the context as family devotions for this week or your own devotions. Read the whole chapter around it. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, is talking about something in this chapter, obviously. He's not talking about precisely the thing we're talking about, but he gives this big thing. He says his big idea that is a big thing that's true in what he's talking about and outside of what he's talking about. It covers all of life. It's a big general idea, and it is an idea that I think can transform our outlook as we go through life. So 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, "For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive?" That's it. That's the idea. It's everything we have is a gift. And you said, well, he didn't say that. Yeah, he did. He said it. He asked a question, right? A question that has an implicit, what do you call it? A rhetorical question. A question that has the answer built in. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, so that's the answer to the question. Everything you have, you received. Everything is a gift from God. That is the idea that can transform how we walk through our daily lives. Everything we have and everything that comes to us and everything that we experience is a gift from God. What do you have that you did not receive? Answer, nothing. If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? So he's talking with them about boasting and pride. Read the whole chapter. But that last sentence, what is he saying? If you expand out a little bit what he's saying, you're acting as if it's not a gift. You're acting as if the stuff that you've received, you didn't receive, and you're taking that, you're becoming prideful. Think about, okay, first of all, think about the everything part of the verse, the middle of the verse. What do you have that you did not receive? That's an everything. That's an all-encompassing. So what is your everything? Just think through your life, kind of mentally close your eyes, the good, the bad, the people you like, the people you don't like, the people you wish weren't really part of your everything, but they are, the people that you're really glad are part of your everything. What do you have that you did not receive? What the responsibilities, the job, the things that are weighing over you, the things you have to do, the reason you have to get up and be productive tomorrow, the stuff you have to pay, the stuff that you have around you that you've purchased, that you have, the gifts and abilities you have. What is your everything? The everything that you could say, I guess if this is everything, then I received everything. This is my everything. whether it's their physical things, if you're able to do things with your body, if you're able to move your digits and see with your eyes or not see, whatever your everything is, the food that you eat, your experiences, the things that you do, that you take in, just think about your life. What is your everything? Okay. And he says, what do you have? So out of all that, that you didn't receive? Answer, nothing. We've received it all. It's all a gift. Normally, we don't see it like that. They didn't. Look at, he wrote this line because they weren't seeing everything they had as having received it. So they were boasting about it. We normally don't see the stuff that we have, who we are, what we're able to do as a gift. It's, I bought that. I worked hard for that. I got up early and, you know, stayed up late and I saved and I scrimped and I'm in good shape because I watch what I eat or whatever the thing is, whatever you say. No. That's, yes, of course, everything is a gift, but really I earned that. I got that. Or that's not a gift. That's something somebody else did that to me. That came into my life. That's a bad thing that came. I wouldn't consider that a gift. That's worse than t-shirts at Christmas. That's not a good thing. But he's saying it is. It's all a gift. What do you have that you didn't receive? Because we can, you can start anywhere in our lives and then we can trace it back to, I didn't deserve this. I didn't do anything to be able to do this. So you worked hard for that. Well, who gave you the food to eat, to do the work, and who gave you the body and the mind to do the work, and who gave you the abilities, the physical abilities and the mental abilities to do that? Yes, you worked hard and bought it, but everything that led to that was a gift. So that's also a gift. Everything is a gift. Anything that we do with our body or our mind or anything, we've received everything. So you could trace everything back to, yeah, this did come from outside of me. It was a gift. And that is a thread that is seen through the entire Bible, that everything that we have received is a gift from God. Go to Job chapter 2. And if you know the story of Job, if you don't, skip everything I said about family devotions earlier. Just read the book of Job as your family devotions this week. But if you know the story of Job, you know that he's going through some really incredibly, unmeasurably difficult times. Look at what he says in Job 2, verse 10. So he's going through really bad times, and his wife basically is saying, in the verse before this, paraphrase, but basically, just give up. Do something that'll get you killed. Curse God, and then he'll maybe smite you down and you'll die. That's what you should do. Why keep on living? He said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Look at this. That first line isn't why we read it. That's not something. Don't imitate that line. This next part. Shall we receive good from God? Shall we not receive evil? So should we take good from God and not bad? Is that the way it works? No. Why? Because he gives all. He's the one who gives everything. And you say, well, that can't be true. That can't be a right thing that Job said. And then you see how the verse ends. And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He said what was true. Everything is a gift from God, and there's the from God in that. It's and everything, not just everything is a gift. So thank you, universal consciousness. Everything I receive is a, no, there's a giver. There is a giver who gives every gift. The giver, if there is a gift, there is a giver, and God is the giver. This is the string that is thread through the entire Bible from Abraham saying, the Lord will provide, giving God the name provider. God is the giver from the beginning when God made everything and gave life and breath, and in him we move and breathe and have our being. Everything we receive from him, he is the giver. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That's the biggest gift. And we'll circle back to that at the end, but not in this verse. But how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God is the giver who gives us everything. Second Peter, look at verse 3 of chapter 1. Second Peter 3, number 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. And through the rest of this book, Peter is going to talk about how God has, especially this first chapter, it's phenomenal, about how God has given us everything we need to know him, everything that pertains to godliness. But in that, he says, he's given us everything, everything for life and godliness. Everything that we need comes from him. Or Matthew 7, verse 11. And Jesus says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is the giver. All things come from him. One more, 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 17. And again, what I said at the beginning, every verse we look at is in a context, arguably talking about something bigger, but there's a truth about God being the giver of all things in these verses. So that's why we're reading them out of context. But this book, this verse especially, this is set in a very, very rich context. Read the context. But for today, verse 17, as for the rich in this present age, and if we were reading this in the context, we would see and we would talk about how those of us who have more than one change of clothes to wear and can open a little small room and choose different things to put on and have, you know, a crisis, I don't know what to wear, it's so much, or we were driven or drove in a motorized vehicle to a place where we worship God in this environment, and we come from another environment where we're able to change, to control the temperature around us and elements can't get in. Those of us who can open up a big box and choose food for a week to and choose what we want to eat and have enough for a week. If we didn't work for a week, we would still have enough to eat. If any of that describes you and I, then we would be, by this definition, by the definition that Paul would be bringing to this, we would be the rich. We have been given way more than we need. We've been very blessed. This would apply to us. This is not a verse for Bill Gates. This is a verse for you and I. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. And then this is the reason we're reading the verse right now here. But on God, and then what does God do? This is kind of like a little throwaway line, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy, everything that we might enjoy it, everything to enjoy. God richly provides us what? Everything. He is the giver. Everything we receive is a gift from him, gives it to us to enjoy. And I know the idea that everything is a gift from God, everything in my life is a gift from God. That takes some faith. I mean, we've read verses, right? We could, you know, maybe you could argue one or two of them in the context, really not saying that. Okay, we could have that discussion, but all of them together, God is the giver who gives everything. Everything we have is a gift from God. What do you have that you haven't received? That idea takes a little bit of faith to actually believe in very many of the circumstances that you and I go through, because not everything seems to be a gift. That difficult person at work doesn't seem to be a gift. When things don't go the way that it would just make sense for them to go in any given day, that doesn't feel like a gift. It feels like something to get over. Sometimes our jobs, many times the work that we have to get up and labor at doesn't feel like a gift. Do I say some people don't feel like gifts? If I didn't, some people in our lives, they don't feel like gifts. Some things that we have to go through. Sickness does not feel like a gift. The death of a loved one doesn't feel like a gift. But everything we read says that everything we receive is a gift from God. God gives us all things. He is the giver. Everything is a gift from God. So believing that and reconciling that with our life takes faith, takes saying, I know that that's true because God said it's true. It doesn't feel like it's true in this moment, but I'm going to believe that that's true, even though I don't feel like it's true. And we have verses that help us with it, but it's helping in the battle in the moment. There's not a quick fix for this. There's a in the moment battle to believe this is a gift from my Father. And I don't understand how this is a gift at all. And through tears saying, I don't get it. Look at Romans 8:28, and I know this is a verse that sometimes is flippantly thrown at people who are going through bad times, God works all together for your good. And also then because it's flippantly thrown, it's also flippantly discarded. Well, this isn't a helpful verse. It is a very helpful verse, but it's not a quick answer verse. It's a labor and tears and prayer and sweat over, I don't get how this can be a good thing from you, Father, but I believe it's from you. It doesn't feel like it's a good thing from you. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So God works all things, even things that don't feel like good gifts from the Father. We don't have to know. Here's the thing. We don't have to know how something is a gift from our Father to accept that it is. It is. I don't get it in this moment. But you say it is, and you say you work all things together for good, and I don't get it, but I choose to believe you and what you say, even though I don't feel it. I want us to look at, because this is such a big part of this, I want us to look at a couple of drastic examples, how the Lord helped the Apostle Paul work through arguably some of the most painful things in that can come into our lives. One is sickness, one is death. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in this, we see Paul, the Apostle Paul, going through something so physically painful that three times he pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him. And God said, no. And then look at how God helps him deal with it and see a gift in the pain and in his sickness even, or whatever the physical thing was. I'm assuming a sickness or physical ailment or debility. Or he said to me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. See, we don't always get that. We don't always get that word from God. This is how this is a gift. This is how this thing that is so painful and hurtful and bad that you don't see this as a gift. This is how it is a gift from me. God, in his grace, told Paul that in this instance. I don't think he did it every time. Doesn't do it every time for me. Sometimes we see, sometimes we don't. In this instance, God said, I'm making my power perfect in you. If you weren't made weak by this thing in your flesh, my power wouldn't be. You're more powerful now because of what I'm doing in you, because of this. God let him know that. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. In this case, he got it. He said, okay, so I understand. Doesn't appear to be a gift. Actually, this thing is a gift because it's leading me to something actually incredible, God's power in me. That's one example. That's sickness. And I think that that is generic enough that we could take that and apply that to our physical ailments. Now, go to Philippians chapter 1. The second hard situation is death, whether it's your own that you're facing or someone who you love. For those of us who are in Christ, Paul gives a window onto how even that can be an incredible gift from the Father. For to me to live is Christ. He goes on to say, I'm going to do fruitful labor if I keep living. You're going to benefit from that. You all need me. That's what Paul goes on to say in a paraphrase. So it's gonna be meaningful if I keep living. To die is gain. And in the context, read the rest of the context. The gain is Christ. I'm gaining Christ. I'm with my Savior. See the hope of everything that I've labored for. I'm getting Christ. I'm losing everything. I'm gaining Christ, and that's gain. So even in what would not appear to be a gift, Paul is saying, it's a gift. I'm getting the greatest gift of all. I'm getting Jesus as I face passing from this world to the next. So whether we see what we're going through as a gift from God or not, it is. Sometimes in faith, we have to say, I accept that. Another idea that something... Another way to see the gift is that sometimes what comes into our lives is not directly a gift for you and I, but it's a gift that God is giving someone else in our lives. And it just happens to have to go through us and maybe through a circumstance that requires self-sacrifice for that gift to get to them. That may not land. That may land with somebody. Okay, what are some implications of this? If everything we have is a gift from God, How does that actually impact our life and our attitude and how we go through our lives? Well, it gives us the ability, seeing everything as a gift from God, the good, the bad, everything, not just the bad, because when we talk about this, it's easy to focus on, see, the bad things as a gift from God, because we assume we see the good things as a gift from God. I don't think we do. I don't think my normal reaction when good things happen is not always, oh, this is a gift from God. It's, oh, I can't believe this awesome thing happened. I'm glad I did this. It's not, I'm glad this worked out. It's seeing everything, good and bad, as a gift from God. That allows us to give more glory to God as we go through good and bad things, to obey what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, where he says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Everything that comes into our life, receive it as a gift from God. That helps us enjoy the good things better and go through the bad things better in a way that glorifies God. Go back to Job. Another implication of this, if everything is a gift from God, everything that I've received, I don't have to fear losing it. Think about that for a moment. You don't have to fear losing it. We don't have to control everything. We don't have to make things happen. Our Father gives us what we need. Everything is a gift from Him. I don't have to fear losing it. Look at how Job deals with the first wave of losses that sweep into his life. Go to Job 1, verse 20. Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on the ground, and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. So don't have anything when I come in, don't have anything when I go out. And then he's going to say, everything in the middle comes from God. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything comes from the Lord. So I don't have to worry about losing what I have. It's all a gift. Anyway, we can trust. Another implication, if everything is a gift from God, we can trust as we go through life in His future goodness. Because if God was good, see, if God was good to me now, and it's easy for me to look around and say, well, I have now, but what about tomorrow? What about the next day? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What if I get in a car wreck and then I if He was good to me today, I can trust in His future goodness. I have a Father, the giver. He loves me. I'm His child in Jesus. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money. Don't be chasing after. Don't love money. Be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The giver is my Father. He's taken care of me today. He will continue to take care of me. Jesus said something very similar. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Again, read the whole context later. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles, those who don't know God, right? Seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. The giver knows what we need. And He gives every good gift. Another implication, if it's all a gift, why don't we give? Well, because this is mine. Why am I not generous when I see somebody who needs something? Because this is mine. We can be generous. We can live with open hands. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 8. Now, in the context, this is about helping other people with money, helping other people, so giving to other people. And look at what he says. A reason to be generous. God is able to make all grace abound to you. God's able to make grace abound to you so that having sufficiency in all things, so you have more than enough. Why? Because God's given you more than enough at all times. You may abound in every good work. That abound in every good work. In the context, what he's talking about is you can give to other people. You can help other people in need. We can be generous because we just, if I give you something, if you give me something, I like the way that one sounds better. Yeah. If you give me something, we're just giving what we've received. We're not giving something that's ours. We're just passing on the gift. And the giver, this verse says, will give us more. And the following verses say that as well. Another one. If everything is a gift from God and we see it that way as we go through life, we can truly be thankful in all things. One of the hardest verses in the Bible to read is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. If you really think about it, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. So just quickly think of a circumstance this week in which it was really hard, would have been hard to give thanks. We can give thanks in all things if we say, well, even that thing is a gift from God. Don't know how, don't understand it, but it's a gift from my Father, so thank you. And whatever that looks like, however that goes, one more, we can enjoy without feeling bad. When God gives us something, gives you a big steak, if you're a vegetarian, I'm sorry, that's a bad example. That would be the opposite of a good thing. Just think whatever the most beautiful thing that you could see on a plate would be. You're picturing it? Okay, and then you feel kind of guilty. It's like, oh, there's people who don't have, and there's, I don't know, should I be really happy eating this? We can. Look at 1 Timothy 6:17, the second part of that. God, look at the verse where it says, God, who richly provides us with everything, what does it say? To enjoy. Now, in the rest of the context, it says, don't depend on your riches. Don't boast about them. Be generous, store up good works. There's a lot more around it, but one part of God giving us everything is he gives us everything to enjoy. How do I enjoy this gift? Seeing everything as a gift. It can wipe away the worry and the fear and the holding on to stuff and the control, and it can fill us with anticipation. This is a gift from my Father right now. I get nervous when I come up here, but hey, this is a gift. I'm able to do this. I don't know how much of a gift it is for you to sit there and listen, but debate that later. But this is a gift. And then I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to get in another gift that my Father gave me, and I'm going to go to Walmart, and if the bananas are on just the right, you know, ripeness, I'm going to get another gift. My Father is going to fill my day with gifts. Everything is going to be a gift for my Father. So I could go through the day with hope and not be worried about things. And I wish that was the case every day, but it can be more and more for us when we see everything coming from our Father as a gift. So if you're a Christian, I keep saying from our Father, if you're a Christian, the application today for you and I is very direct. We need to learn to go through life and see everything, good and bad. When good things happen, say, this is a gift from my Father, thank you. When bad things happen, this is a gift from you, thank you. Help me to figure out the gifty part of it, the why I would want this, why this is good for me, but thank you. We should learn to say, this is from my Father, this circumstance, this thing, this person, this is from my Father. It's a gift from him, thank you. And then talk to him about it, that we can do that. Job did that. Here's a more practical application. We should do that as we just go through this week, right? So that's practical, but even more practical. What do you have in your life right now that you need to receive as a gift? Look for that worry or anxiety or complaint, the irritation. What's underneath that? What's the thing that God has put in your life that you need to say, oh, that's actually a gift from my Father? And then let God replace all of those emotions with joy and peace and hope. And if you're not a Christian, I've been saying, our Father gives us every good gift. And when we think about God giving every good gift and being the giver, this is an invitation for you, if you are not a Christian, to receive the one who is the giver. And to receive the greatest gift that he gives, which is more than everything that he's going to put in your day today, more than the air you breathe, more than everything else in the sunshine, beautiful day. It's that you can be his child, that you can be full of his Spirit, that you can be forgiven, that he can fill up that hole inside of you that we seek to fill with everything else. And so the giver invites you to receive himself. And you do that when you come to Jesus and you surrender, and you are baptized. You give yourself to him. And in this community, when you say, I want that, you don't have to walk up the aisle, but you do have to tell somebody. And then you do have to come up and profess your faith in Jesus and go under the water and come back up a new person. For those of us who are Christians, that's why we finish like this. We remember. This is a time for us to remember, I've received and I am receiving the greatest gift of all. I am in Christ. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, I'm adopted and forgiven and restored and full of his Spirit. Let's just read a little bit out of Ephesians 2. This is the greatest gift that God has given you and I if you are in Christ. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. We're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not of works, a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God, we come to you and we thank you. We thank you that we can, those of us who are in Christ, we could celebrate that we've received this gift, that you've rescued us from the dominion of darkness. You've brought us into the kingdom, the Son you love. We are brothers and sisters with Jesus, and we're your children. So now as we take bread in our hands and remember his body, lift up the cup that represents his blood, and together share your table. We thank you. Thank you for him. In Jesus' name we pray.